we get started on the agenda, and I know minutes are on their way down here, so we can continue with that in just a moment. But in addition to the members that are present, Ron Okram, serving as the active executive director of the fund, is here, along with Mark Stewart, who serves as the fund's counsel. We also have Connie Richardson here and Brian Scordieri to provide us tremendous support to the fund. And I understand that Noel Despiva, the president of the Harness Horse Breeders, is not here. She usually attends, but I think she's snowbound, perhaps. So, at this point, before we get into the minutes, I would open up the meeting to public comment, if anyone would like to make a comment for us before we get started. We'll allow that at this time. We'll probably limit you to 5 minutes, just because anyone? Alice.
First of all, I think we should all bow our heads at a moment of time. As the biggest breeder and owner of standardbred horses passed away, Mr. David H. Brooks. And Mr. David H. Brooks taught me quite a bit. They taught me a father. Taught me that money brings it. His brother was Jeffrey Brooks, whom I had a contract filed with the state. They taught me about how you can manipulate sale markets on your yearlings, how you can manipulate the paperwork. It's not your agenda today. You're going to talk about stallion. And I'll reserve 2 minutes during that, if possible, because I don't want to upset Ms. Sepp or your commission, because that would be the appropriate time for public comment. One, I can't understand why the trustees at a meeting last May, in a matter of record, said that I should receive my payment back from the New York State Ag Fund. Charged extra money for standing my stallions. Two, I received a call. I wanted to bring my stallion back to New York. Questioned everyone, because there isn't an executive director, if I could bring it back. 3 days before Christmas, I received a call, spoke for an hour and 40 minutes with Ron Oakham and Mark Stewart. Explained to him I wanted the same law for everyone. No one can tell me what the law is. But at the same time, my stallion had left. The law states that you're supposed to stay out 2 years, or 1.5 times, and or 1.5 times that was added to your stallion director. No one could quote me law. 3 days after Christmas, Wednesday, before New Year's, there isn't any way to get him home from Indiana. They're going to waive the laws, they're going to waive this, but no one could quote me law. And I said at December's meeting, trying to fix that. I don't want laws waived for me. I want the law to be the same for each and every person. And it hasn't been for me. You see, the one thing Brooks taught me, and this escapade for 5 years, was to file paper call. All these records are FOIL requests from gaming, FOIL requests from state ad, and subpoenas and statements from independent agencies. There's unsigned leases that I received from a FOIL from Gaming. Another copy of unsigned leases from a FOIL request from the Ag Fund. And just a recent one from Gaming. A FOIL request to Gaming again because Mr. Oakham had
fishing. I don't understand when I'm reading an email that I have as well from Montesaurus Burrito Betty Hole asking Peter Aaron Jenna, an Ag Fund trustee, to cut and paste and just trash the emails. This has been a very unfair system to me. But I have your paper trails. I bred a lot of horses to be New York bred. I did it in good faith, with integrity. I didn't ask anyone for help. But I also have the emails that said I will do anything to stop Alice out. This sire stakes will move forward. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And that's from the Harness Horse Breeders Association. So, then I have another statement. I provided under a state licensee of New York Gaming. It said if there is an investigation, a licensee must cooperate with that investigation. Your senior investigator who works for the fund now as well as the state, Mr. Levinson, told me to bring my papers to him. He wanted to look at it, explain the situation. Mr. Sekela came out with a lady named Vivian, took the papers. I shouldn't have had any questions from the Federal Bureau and tell people, or Ed Brooks, how all my names got wrong, my address got wrong, my telephone number was wrong. I went to Mr. Levinson. I went to Mr. Sekela. State game lawyer tells me that he's not allowed to do the right thing. Tells me that he reviewed all the leases and was going back, Mr. Mullaney, they were going back and reviewing what, so this could be a legal entity and everyone was same rules, same laws. Mr. Mullaney and Mr. Sekela told me that he quit their jobs. I hired and spent a lot of money for attorneys to prove to gaming that I did not alter the Brooks contract. I brought a copy of a signed lease that was backdated and backdated by Dan Henry on the order of Kentucky NFR. I brought the man that backdated the lease to gaming. Gaming wrote Mr. Burns, directed Mike Mullaney to sign a letter and send it to me that If I Could Dream was eligible for the New York Sire Stakes, a horse that was in my name, that they backdated a contract on, and that he was in Kentucky and all done through state email. And Mr. Burns and Mr. Mullaney signed that letter because he was head of the fund. My lawyers didn't write Mr. Mullaney, they wrote Mr. Burns with a 65-page document with the proof from the fund, with the emails from the fund, with the contracts, with the affidavits. Charlie Diamond, in his emails that are here, let Alice take it to court. We can't help her, we can't do anything. I understand that. I took my court battle. I retained my horses, and I'm still here today. But it was very hard for a sole source provider to attack myself, to send emails to you people, of which I have, to ask a political trustee to cut and paste documents to me, to have signed contracts when there were no signed contracts at Morrisville, to have in conversation of record with your trustees and Ms. Holt that there were no signed contracts for Conway Hall or Dewey Cheatham Hall, to Cheatham Hall, and allow those courses to compete in the programs. Mr. Stewart asked me how we can make this go away. How we can make it go away. In that conversation of record, of which I have, how can we end this? How can we move forward? Or maybe my pronouns aren't quite right, as I was told. But I will say, I asked for 4 years for a roundtable. I asked to be able to compete in this state as a state licensee under the same rules and eligibilities. I do not understand how in an executive meeting that a lease that is unsigned, how gaming attorneys explain that it is a legal document. Because in case law, it is not. And in every one of these emails and state records, when an unsigned lease was sent to the state, other ag fund directors and other people requested the signature. I'm not knocking this industry. I love racing horses. I'm passionate about it. But no one here can figure out why the middle class has walked away from breeding. They've walked away from breeding. They've walked away from racing. They can't compete against the drugs, and they can't compete against state officials. When you come and tell them the truth, and you have the patent paper to back it up, why they can't sit down and resolve a problem or have a discussion with you, instead of sweeping it under the rug and a sole source provider sending emails how to cut and paste legal documents. That's called a felony. And the court, it is a felony to use an electronic transmission to alter public state records. And it was done to myself. This is why, to all of you people, I filed a complaint with the Attorney General's office. They said it wasn't a problem, but they told me it was an election year. But they were the first to confiscate the money in Central Iceland from David H. Brooks to buy this state bulletproof vest.
Okay, Alice, thank you. Yes, you're quite right.
Well, she's gone 10 so far. All right, we'll go another 5 minutes.
And just to understand that I filed a complaint with Patricia Hoover, Inspector General's office. New York Gaming wrote a complaint, or wrote an answer, because they sent the complaint to New York Gaming. Said all my problems were resolved. That they changed the law, they did this, they did that. They didn't do any of the above. So I drove to Harlem, met Lisa Lee, gave her my paperwork, forwarded it to Bree Brown. Because one of the biggest criminals in history happened to be the biggest owner in state of racing. And I couldn't see or justify why they should pay him over what they did to our people. I came to your office, Mr. Ball, and I know that most of you that sit on this board are truly not aware of the full retribution. I went downstairs with Barry Sample and Ed Burns. I wasn't allowed to talk at the public meeting because they sent Mr. Sekelik in and told me I couldn't talk. And these are the frustrations I have. So when you make those decisions over the eligibility of leases and stallions, and no one knows the history, a little piece of history is any stallion leaving New York State prior to December 31st of the year for which he is duly registered will not be eligible for registration in New York for a period of 2 full years. Gaming can't find archives. I'll give you archives. And this is how changed. In December, or in 2007, David H. Brooks wanted us to bring Western Terror back to the state and relocate him to another breeding farm. Western Terror stood in the state of New York with no signed leases. He stood at Morrisville College. He was owned by David H. Brooks. Wanted to come back and relocate to another farm. They appointed Hamilton as executive director from November through February when they wrote the stallion directory. He was never there. He did not change the and or and said he didn't. Just like he said he never did farm inspections, the HHB used the records. That's how this happened. It was never amended by law or rules or regulation. Because if so, how could the state of New York try to keep cow stallions in the state agriculturally? And it was Betty Holt that testified in the trial, or at the hearing, the pretrial of Jeffrey Brooks, that this state must have tenure leases. Didn't tell her board. Didn't tell your people. But what I will say to you, it was what was done to my family, my horse, and myself was wrong for coming to you people and telling you the truth. It was wrong for Morrisville College, the only educational institution in this state, not to receive the monies from those breedings, from their kids preparing those horses for auction. And yet, we still put them on boards, and we still respect their advice. But at the end of the day, you folks, you can't hide the paper. So when it comes time to stallion leases and eligibilities, I would hope the advisors to Gaten could tell me how an unsigned document is legal because it wasn't acted in good faith. A lease is a lease that should have extended to 2016, and the stallions would have never left that college. How does our state institutions lose money? How do they come up with the mystery leases? Especially when I have the email asking the trustees to cut and paste documents that are going to be a matter of record. And just trash the
thank you, Alice.
That's unfair.
Thank you. All right. We're gonna. Any other public comments?
And I'll reserve that time for the stallion leases.
I'm not sure we can do that.
All right. But I would ask Mr. Ball. I brought these guys here because usually no one lets you speak. Lets you speak the full term. I wanted a matter of public record. I will object to the unsigned leases. In that agenda today, that is on your agenda, it says yearly eligibility, and it says and stallions. I object to the fact that Rock and Roll Heaven could come back to this state, and I could not under the same laws, because no one knew the laws. And everyone in this December meeting knew those laws because and knew that that horse was coming back. Because in December, in November, it was required that the stallion directory for USTA be notified where the horse was going in order for them to run their papers. In November, that horse was going to Winback. Where is he today? Winback. My horse stands in Indiana. I'm a New York resident. I had to stand in Indiana because I chose to comply with law. 2 years. Keith Hamilton said it was 2 years. Never changed the laws. It's just printed and cut and paste. And when all those yearlings at this state, 2-year-olds, that I filed numerous protests with Gaten, not to force them out of your state program, to force them to sit down and say, we've had a problem. We acknowledge we've had a problem. And instead of speaking before boards and calling me crazy, your sole source provider, for calling up all the people I do business with and saying that I'm crazy. I was crazy enough to get every one of you people's paper trail. And it's a pretty strong one. That's why the middle class quit doing business. It's not the same for us. And I do want my check.
Thank you. Before we go back to the agenda, I want to mention two items. First, the fund pursuant to section 330.4 of the racing law has issued its annual report on January 31st, which has been sent to the governor and to the legislative leaders. It is a comprehensive review of the fund's activities for the past year. If you have not seen it and are interested, you can review a copy on the fund's website, newyorksirestakes.com. Second item is the publication of the Fund Stallion Directory for 2017. That is also available on our website. Everyone has a copy of the minutes in front of you. Okay, these are the minutes from December 8th, 2016. Are there any comments? Not hearing any. Can I have a motion to approve the minutes of December 8th? Second.
I'll second that.
Any other discussion on the minutes? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. And opposed? So carried. Our next item is discussion of 2017 requests of proposals for administrative advertising and public relations services. If you recall, at our last meeting, the board approved a motion to solicit proposals pursuant to an RFP. For those services, an important undertaking of the year for several reasons. As we all know, the fund was created in order that it may promote the breeding of horses and the conduct of the energy and state responsibility and under its own business management. Policy, good faith, and interest of the state are concerned with the management and development of the fund and are committed to the promotion of horse breeding and equine research in New York State. Carrying out this mandate, the Board of Trustees have recognized the Harness Horse Breeders of New York State as a sole source vendor. By passing a sole source resolution each year and over many years, we are not absolutely assured over time that the HHB is the only vendor that can provide these services. Making such a determination as to whether this contract should continue as a sole source, we need to justify our decision, which will serve to support our future determinations as to a sole source vendor. Given these concerns, we took two important actions at December 8th meeting. First, we instructed staff to prepare a request for proposal for administrative advertising and public relations services. Also, we needed to maintain the program as the solicitation for services was developed and implemented. The most prudent step was to extend the current contract with the HHB for a short time to permit continuation of the Sire Stakes program. We did that, in fact, authorizing staff to enter into a three-month contract with the HHB. By utilizing this approach, we will be able to keep the program going and determine whether the HHB is, in fact, the only provider of such services. Staff working with the contracts unit at the New York State Gaming Commission prepared two documents. And in this regard, I would like to thank Gail Thorpe and Stacy Relation from the Gaming Commission, who are with us today, for their hard work, critical knowledge, and leading the process that result in the two documents that are in front of you today. So thank you. One is a request for a proposal, an RFP that provides for the solicitation of marketing and public relations services. This document, which has been released to the public, provides for the strategic account planning, advertising, promotion, event management, creative development, production and distribution of all advertising, marketing communications, and promotional materials, digital marketing and advertising, social media management, creative development and content management of the fund's website, and account management. There is a timeline, and we anticipate that this process will culminate with a contract in place by April 1st of this year. The second document is a request for quotations an RFQ. It's a new one for me, RFQ, for administrative services. A successful bidder here will provide administrative services, which includes the important point standings that requires calculating and attaining the New York Sire Stakes points earnings for all programs, including Sire Stakes, Excelsior, and County Fair Racing. Again, if anyone is interested in providing these services, I would suggest that you go to the Sire Stakes website to review the documents. As previously stated, these documents have been prepared and released. To summarize, the services that will be provided under the two contracts that will result from the RFP and the RFQ process will first include creating and implementing an advertising plan for the fund, and secondly, coordinating specific administrative operations of the fund. As for current services, as this process is underway, we approved at our December meeting extending our current contract with the Harness Horse Breeders of New York an additional 3 months from January 1st to and including March 31st. We have formally entered into that agreement. That same agreement allows for 2 one-month extenders, which, if necessary, will take us to May 31st. I would expect to have another meeting before this date where the members will have the opportunity to approve the winning submissions under both the RFP and the RFQ. Next item under our agenda is the consideration of County Fair Racing schedule for this year. We did not have all the information we needed at our last meeting, but at our last meeting we approved schedules for the Sire Stakes, with the exceptions of the Finals and the Excelsior Series. I noted at that time we did not have the schedule for the New York State Association of Agricultural Fairs. Fair Association met in January, and we now have a calendar of fair racing dates. I would note that 20 county fairs in 2017 will include harness racing. That list is included in the members' packet. As I noticed at our last meeting, last year we had some complaints that there was little to no agricultural components at some of the off-site venues. We must maintain the integrity of the program and the legislative mandate for such racing. As the members agreed at our last meeting, if a fair association cannot provide such commitment, then such funding should not be provided. In this regard, all the county fair racing will occur on the fairgrounds during the fair dates, except for one, Genesee. We have contacted Mr. Scott Adams, president of the Genesee County Fair Association, and noted that, given our last meeting, that any racing occurring off fairgrounds will need additional information on how the off-site location will meet the agricultural component of the program. As for Saratoga County, their fair association has not included fair racing on its schedule this year, so there will be no fair racing in Saratoga County this year. As a result, I would like to have the members consider and approve the current schedule with 20 county fairs having a racing program. We can add Genesee at this time if the members choose to do so, with a requirement that the fair association provide a plan to the fund board as a condition for final approval. That condition will require that the Fair Association provide this fund an agricultural program that will occur at the off-site location when and if racing occurs. Since we are having a meeting in April, we can consider the additional funding at that time. Are there any comments?
I would just make one, Commissioner. Peter, is there a final state and location?
That's what we need to discuss. I just seen on here Chalmersburg is the week of August, and I went over a little schedule this morning. We want at least to have 2 weeks after the last fair so we could have time for all the testing results to come back before we take the crazy stuff as we discussed. So it's going to be probably the final's going to have to be sometime in September. And I don't think we want to do this on a day that we have a Sire Stakes at another racetrack to have the county fairs on the same day. Right? So basically, we're down to one, two, three. There's only 4 days in the whole month of September that we could probably have it. And I'm looking, I think, Mike, last year we had it in Batavia. This year, it's probably going to have to go to Saratoga if Saratoga wants it. And I'm looking at, and then I got to figure out when in September the days they're open, because everybody has these different things. But I was looking at either got to do it Sunday the 10th, Friday the 15th, Sunday the 17th, or Wednesday the 20th. So it's a matter of how late we want to get into this. And I would say somewhere around Friday the 15th or something, if Saratoga's open, that'll give us roughly 2 weeks or so, 2.5 weeks from the last fair day, which is towards the end of August. So that'll give plenty of time for all the test results to come back.
And especially since the last fair game is actually in Tompkins County, where truck live is.
The only questions I have on Saratoga, and I think as long as we're going as far back as the 15th, the thoroughbred meets long done, right? They're done at the very beginning of the
Labor Day.
Right?
Yeah.
So,
can't be any
using one of their existing dates, you know, for that schedule, the only thing that becomes is what it does to the rest of their schedule. You know, and whether or not they've got race dates on those Sundays.
I'd have to go. Have to call Peter and find out, because in September they go to like Friday, Saturday, Sunday sometimes, and then there's a couple of days that they don't do Sundays. It's really a mess, you know. I mean, if you don't have it in front of us, but those are pretty much the dates that we don't have Sutter Stakes racing at other tracks. So I'll get with him, and I mean, the thing is, Batavia said they'd tank them, but we went to Batavia last year, and I don't have a problem with it, but the horsemen are going to have a problem with that, because a lot of them said, well, we went to Batavia last year, and a lot of them come from down this end of the state. When we did it 2 years in a row, 1 year we had to do it in Batavia, they all complained about it. So hopefully we'll go to Saratoga with it. It's just a matter of picking the date.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, because if it's a date they're not racing, they need permission for you guys to race.
Right, but no, we gotta go on a day they're racing.
All right, okay. And
I think Friday the 15th, they are definitely racing on that 15th, so.
Keeping in line with the other thoughts, they're not having a regularly scheduled fair date because they choose not to have our agricultural component. Now, I don't think our finals historically have had that be something we've had to do. I don't think Monticello went one step out of their way. I have to guess when they were having the finals, they ran them in a similar way, right? Like they ran them the way they ran any normal schedule of Monticello, remember, right? Is that something we should be asking of them for our biggest fair day of the year?
Well, actually, in the RFP, that's actually discussed there about the finals, about creating like a marketing plan that will include the
overall finals, the results of your finals, Sire Stakes finals.
They'll present something that when September comes around, we'll have that.
So then we're going to take that upon us to some extent without any staff or financial help from the racetracks then, theoretically.
They'll work with the racetrack.
So, I mean, I mean, obviously, before we assign a date, some way to see what their willingness is to do it, but what we're asking of them, you know, for receiving a racing day on us, you know, is there something we should ask more of there or not?
I mean, usually, you know, the fair or the track participates in a barbecue and every other thing we do up there. So, I mean, that's the standard procedure we've had.
All right, so you're going to
have the county fair finals there before, and we didn't have a problem. Everything went through as planned. But we'll all get with Peter, and we'll find out what what I needed to know before we did all this is, you know, are we going to Yonkers, which we know now we are, so which we'll be discussing later. So, but those are our days that are available.
And you think they'll find a way to make it work for us?
Oh yeah.
All right.
I don't think that's a problem.
Do we need to table this until we have an exact date?
Well, I think you've got the regular calendar, if you can move that forward, because I know there are some entities racing under saddle looking to make sure that dates are confirmed.
For the county dates, right.
Which is what we're looking to do.
And also, I mean,
the next meeting, you can do the finals
and affairs after Peter talks to them.
Okay.
So I'd like to make a motion that we accept the general calendar.
Hey, Alice, in this list of fairs, are there any fairs other than the Saratoga Fair? Are there any fairs that dropped out from the previous year?
No.
Are they all in?
They're the same. Okay. We work on prior. There were 22 last year. We got 20 there plus Saratoga and Genesee, which...
So everybody's in there. Okay.
Waterloo didn't run last year, and they're not on this list either.
What's that?
Waterloo did not run last year.
Yeah, they aren't on this year.
They're not on this
year. Yeah, exactly.
So, you know,
plus, I'm saying from last year,
no,
we got the same bunch.
Okay.
All right, so, Mike, you were about to make a motion to approve the county fair schedule for 2017.
Yes, I'd like to make that motion, and then we will table the finals and what will be held until the next meeting.
Can we have a second?
I second it.
Any other discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
So carried. Our next item is a discussion of grant solicitation. Again, at our December 8th meeting, the trustees approved the budget for the 2017 calendar year, which included $150,000 in grant funding. Last year, the fund received and reviewed 8 requests for funding and awarded funding to 6 of those organizations. The fund set a deadline for submission of those applications for grants that required that they be received by the fund no later than January 31st of this year. Organizations that were interested were told to examine sections 330 through 336 of the Racing Paramutual Wagering and Breeding Law to determine if they qualify for such funding. It was further stated that fund staff would review each grant request submitted and ask those recipient organizations that meet the requirements to make a presentation at the fund's March or April meeting. And as we have done over the past 3 years, the trustees will award grants based on the strength of the proposal, the availability of resources, and of meeting the statutory mandated mission of the fund. Item 7 on our agenda, amendments to the fund policies with regards to grants. Each year we reaffirm the policies of the fund. At our last meeting, the board approved 22 policies for 2017. Over the past 2 years, we have amended and updated several policies. Upon review of our grant policy, it became apparent that it has not been updated, and we needed to make some changes regarding the approval process. Current policy provides the executive director this authority, which is contrary to statute. There were also a number of inconsistencies in the policy that further necessitated the need to amend this policy, including guidance once an entity received a grant. Therefore, we are proposing to amend this policy, which will provide clear guidelines and remove such authority from the executive director in making the grants. So may I have a motion to amend the fund's grant policy for 2017 as proposed?
I'll make a motion to accept the policy as proposed.
Mike has moved. A second.
Second.
By Peter. Any other discussion? Mark, you want to make a comment there? Or?
No, just that what had happened was that the director made it exclusive, that the exclusive decision-making discretion for making grants was given to the executive director under the statute, under the racing law. That is not there. It is to be administered by the fund. The fund means the trustees.
Okay.
So that element of exclusion, exclusivity for the director, we need to, now certainly the director will have a role in providing information.
So we're fixing something here.
Yes, it provided sole authority, which can't do.
Very good, thank you. All right, any other discussion?
I have a comment. I just didn't know whether, if I may, I had mentioned, Missouri, is that in the policy you indicate the $150,000 that was budgeted in the budget. I just don't know as a matter of course for the policy whether you need the dollar amount in the policy document, or can that always be just in the budget, whatever the board decides to do in the budget. That way you don't have to amend the policy if we go under 150, if we go over 150.
Yeah, the 150 was actually in the original policy, so
okay.
Given that, you know, we weren't going to change it unless you guys wanted that change, we left it in there, and we're going to bring that up for discussion.
I think that makes real sense, though. There's no guarantee we're going to have the money we have, you know. It'd be nice if it could go up, but it's not impossible it goes down.
But then again, also, you got the statutory requirement of there's a how much you can actually provide for grants, which is actually in statute. But whether it's 150, it's going to change each year. Yeah, yes, you can take it out. If you want to do that, that's fine.
If I'm reading this right, Mark, the 150 was put in when we approved it at the last meeting. And here, is it just making reference to what was included in that last meeting?
This is the old policy. It said the total amount of funds available and designated as grant distribution shall be no more than $150,000 annually. So we just kept it in there. But if you want to take it out, that's fine.
No more than doesn't make me as uncomfortable as just having the number, at least that way. If we're short, we don't have to distribute $150,000.
Yeah, it reads like that in the one that's before you. I just thought that, you know, you dictate that amount per the budget, the annual budget.
So if you can make a motion to approve it with the removing that sentence, the annual budget shall be not exceed 150, because you are capped by statute anyways.
All right. Well, first of all, does anyone want to make a motion to that effect?
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Capped by statute to the 150?
No,
2% of job.
2%
of job. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So we have protection there anyway?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
So. All right, so then make a motion to accept it as is, but striking the sentence that designates the actual amount of the $150,000.
Okay. All right, so let's first vote for the amendment. So we have a motion.
And a second.
And a second. There's no further discussion. We're voting on an amendment to strike the $150,000 in grant funding. All in favor signify by saying aye. And opposed. That's carried. And now we're back to approving the amendment of the funds grant policy as proposed. Would we have a motion?
We had a second.
A second. And any other discussion on that? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. And opposed. So carried. Thank you. Thanks for the suggestion, Jack. Item number 8, update on the Sire State's finals location. At our last meeting in December, we approved the Sire Stakes calendar, but we did not have a finals venue at that time. And I know that we've been working with Yonkers, and I believe we now have an agreement to finalize where the finals will take place. We also discussed instituting protocols for the horsemen for the Sire Stakes Night of Champions. And I know, Mike, I think you've been talking with Yonkers on this matter.
Yeah, I think Peter's point, it looks like what we're going to have. There's been a lot of conversation, pro and con, to them moving our date back a month. But we're going to get a tremendous amount of exposure trying this for this year at running these races in conjunction with the international card that Yonkers puts on, where they had a really great day last year there. I think you were down there with Rob Wright. And so we're going to get some exposure internationally, you know, with our Sire Stakes finals. It's not going to be the night of champions this year, as Peter pointed out. It will end up being the afternoon of champions. So we're going to start a little earlier than expected so we can broadcast to Europe, which is kind of exciting. We're getting that for free. And the protocols that we asked for, which was our biggest hang-up, in the detention barn, you know, having the facility available to do that, they have all but guaranteed us they will make that happen. So I think that, you know, our schedule is pushed back because of some of the testing that we've put in to mirror what we're doing in the fairs. Last year, I think everybody applauded at least the effort that was made for the out-of-competition blood testing. At times, it seemed to work stronger than others. Certainly, it seemed to work its best in conjunction with the detention barn during the Empire Breeders Classic. So people asked us very strongly at the end of last year to give us this detention barn for 24 hours to work with everything else in place. So that's what we're trying to do, and Yonkers said they're going to accommodate us. So I think the 14th in the afternoon is what looks like our date would be right now.
And one other thing, because it is in the afternoon, I know putting this thing out out for bid, where they'll have, you know, letting them know that instead of having the Night of Champions cocktail, it'll be probably 11 in the morning, because I think post time's going to be warm. So that'll be just something different that we've never done before, but that's going to be exciting.
Waffles.
Yeah.
Fresh.
Champagne and orange juice or whatever.
That's right.
Now, Pete, every year, we notice Yonder never advertises. They have terrible marketing, so I think we really need to get on the page. We're going to send it to Europe and everywhere else. We should say to them, you've got to put some kind of effort into advertising, because they already have it on the website when the race comes out.
Well, I'm hoping that with this new, you know, if we get these new promotional people that are, you know, kind of professional at this, that they can work with Yonkers and we can spend a little more time on it.
But again, we have the RFP that's going out, and when that goes through the process, you will be involved in it.
Right.
Those are questions we can make sure are addressed.
And I thought last year, in all fairness, Yonkers did some more advertising on it last year. They fell down, I thought, quite a bit on, you know, we had to do everything we could do to get them to open the dining room. I wouldn't say they did a stellar job there. But we've talked, and Jackie had some great ideas about how to hold people accountable going forward for what we're going to do. And, you know, the plan isn't going to be a big secret in 2018. Before we talked to Yonkers about 2017, we talked to Mr. Corral about putting on the races, whether he thought 17 or 18 would be a better year to do it. And we're going to try to put those races on in Tioga, as per his suggestion, in 18. And we'll figure out that schedule when we get to it. But there, they've opened the new casino there. They've spent a lot of money there. And we're going to try to let the venues in our state, I think, even if every third year at some place other than Yonkers, a little competition is going to keep people accountable, I think. And maybe they'll do a little better job for us. But by far and away, the pre-dinner or cocktail party that was put on by us, basically, was far superior than anything that Yonkers did the rest of the night for the program. So, and I did think they did a little more for their international. You were at both events, right? So I think, you know, you probably saw similar. And it was a beautiful day last year for the international that we can't guarantee every year. But hopefully working together, we can put something a little more than blah together for the whole event.
Just make sure that when the RFPs come in, that's one of the things that's
definitely
understood.
The members will be involved.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Well, we'll amend. We have our Q&A periods. We have our Q&A periods, so we'll put an amendment in to update that. Now that any new information that comes in during the Q&A or before the bids come in, we'll actually release that information.
I mean, it's in there, the Night of Champions.
But it's not specified that it's a morning or
where
it is or anything. So now that we know.
See, that'll change every year.
The marketing side of this is important. There's a lot of very hardworking people that are involved in this, and we fail very often to show, you know, a lot of the story and get it out. And there's a lot of money being distributed. It is big business. But, you know, at some point in time, we've got to tell the rest of the story. And just getting it done and checking boxes hasn't worked so far. So I think it's an important component.
We're hoping to get a good morning.
Great. Thank you very much.
Okay.
And also, now that we are going to Yonkers, we need to do the Excelsior Finals, which our game plan was to take those again to Vernon Downs. And I talked with Scott last night, and I talked when we discussed this in Florida. They're open Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Okay, so if they did them on Thursday nights, their night of racing, it'd be 2 days before the Night of Champions, or Day of Champions this year. And that same night are the Indiana Cider Steak Finals. So what Vernon Downs would like to do, what Scott would like to do, is not have his Thursday night racing. He wanted to do it Sunday night. He would rather put on a Sunday night show. So we're looking at Sunday evening to have the Excelsior Finals at Vernon. So, which would give us the Night of Champions, or Day of Champions, at, on the 14th on Saturday afternoon, the Excelsiors would come in on Sunday evening, and then we'd go to Monticello on Monday for the consolations. And they usually have, what, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock post at Monticello? So that would be an afternoon card. So by having it Sunday evening, that gives you time from Saturday afternoon to Sunday for the horse. But if they are in both divisions or whatever, they got time to get their horses moved from one to the other.
That's 2-year-old and 3-year-old.
Yes. This year, all New York Sire Stake events, all 8 divisions are at Yonkers. All 8 divisions of the Excelsior at Vernon will be at Vernon, and then all 8 of the consolations will be at Monticello instead of splitting them up over them here.
Within a 3-day period.
It's all within a 3-day period for Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
And then I just haven't heard Mooresville. Their sale, when have we heard anything when they're planning on having their sale?
Last I heard, they did, Scott said, because he was talking with them to try to have that sale on that Sunday afternoon. That was what our thinking was. Is it 15th? But they don't want to run it that late. I think they're looking at someplace in September. So running Vernon, and it's just not going to work this year.
Yeah, I think that's right. It would mean an awful lot to fit into those 3 days
to
have
exactly.
That sale
exactly.
And all those
it's
races.
It's going to be bad enough, but see, with one of the things for the schedule, why we have to pick it so late is because we need that 2 weeks after the last race date to have our testing done before we start drawing for the finals. We could have had it a week earlier, but everything's in Lexington, the Lexington sale, so we opt to pick the 14th. And this year, having that international day is going to, I think it's a big thing. So it might be a few weeks. Some people had some concerns that we were taking so long to get the finals in after the last leg. But I think with everything we're doing, the tension and all the other competition testing going on, and this year's the first year, if you get a positive test, you're out of the finals, so we want to make sure that we have 2 weeks from the last leg so we don't have to have the problem that we had at the county fair last year. And while we're at it, we might as well talk about the positive test. We were issued about the glossy we were talking about, and I think there's something coming out on glossy.
Yeah, the Gaming Commission's legal counsel is reviewing that, and there will probably be some news about that later today.
See, my question was if...
They have to inform the...
Yeah, see, I had the question of, in our conditions, the way I read it, is if you get a positive test, you're out of the finals. Well, we've had, through the past year, multiple glossy positives that Dr. Malin calls, but it hasn't been acted on upon at the Gaming Commission yet. So my question was, if it wasn't acted on, and there is a positive in a New York Sire Stake event, would that fall under, even though gaming isn't pulling the purses, they're not finding them yet, or whatever, at that point was I was worried about that, even though gaming isn't acting on it, it still would be a positive, and they would still be, under our conditions, they would be ineligible for the final. Is that how I would...
That's wrong.
I think there's an issue.
I think if they're not going to call it a positive, who is? They may not. If gaming is going to, if we're in the position we're in now on that specific thing, then you're going to be racing those horses. If there's a, I got to believe if something is in the process.
Here's the thing. If it's a positive, Dr. Malin's calling a positive. These people are being notified of a positive. Okay? So that was my thing, because this could get... But thank God that gaming is going to react on this, and we don't have to worry about this. Correct?
No, I won't interrupt you.
If I may.
That'll be done by May 1st, right?
On the issue of the notifications, when the glossies originally came out, trainers have been notified. That notification was done in order for them to know that they may, there's a problem. The problem that became for the Gaming Commission to determine the source and the intent of these overages. this, that even though there was no hearing, you're right, there was no notification of violation. There was notification of suspected overages. There was never conclusive evidence produced that there was a violation, which I think guided the decision not to proceed with penalties in that case. We're coming to grips with what glossine is, where it can be found, and how it enters the system and how it's processed. This is not something that you can just come back with as a positive or negative. So I think it needs to be understood that when those notifications went out, they were not notices of violations. They were an advisory to the trainer that you and your board, you may be exposing your board to something you need to change. Okay? And it wasn't, and that's what Dr. Mellon's intent was. So now that this has been studied, now that there is solid science behind the situation of how worse processes glossine, how it may be introduced, I believe that getting the commission today will announce what the intent is in terms of actually marking the violation.
Okay. So when you say today, you mean today?
I believe it's today. This is my colleague.
So prior to our next board meeting, we'll have a definitive answer, and if we need to go back.
It doesn't matter which way it went, we just got to know, if this didn't come about, if this kept lingering, we just had to know, it can happen. I'm trying to avoid lawsuits.
I'm glad you bring it up, because the public discussion of glossing needs to be distinguished between a notice and an actual violation.
Right.
So on anything, glossing is specific example, but the reality is, once we get to past the warning and into a situation where we're actually taking action,
conclusive evidence that we support a violation,
and the commission takes action, then at that time, that horse is not eligible to race in our finals, even if under appeal, as what you read to me the other day. If that situation is under appeal, that horse will not get drawn into the races. The reason we want the 2 weeks is because we'd really not like to have the conversation after the finals are over, when horses get monies and other horses weren't allowed in. It's a lot cleaner not to make the mistake for us.
It's consistent with our discussion at our last meeting.
Exactly. Right.
Okay. That's why that was put in there.
Okay. Right. So hopefully this will be all good as gold by the start of the start state season. We'll have something.
Certainly before our next board meeting, I would anticipate.
Yeah. Okay. I'm confident.
Because I'm just looking down the road to try to avoid all possible problems.
Last year we were stumbling over ourselves at Banaby. So
yeah.
We'll have it cleaner.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Item 9, consideration of eligibility of yearlings and stallions conditions. This item is the result of a lot of research and review of records. We have not approved eligibility of yearlings and stallion conditions since looking back 2009. Since the conditions did not change, there was no need to change them, and they remained in effect each year. However, given the change in the last 10-year lease requirement, which the legislative branch enacted in 2014, there is now a need to amend these conditions. Discussing the proposed changes, it became apparent that we also need to approve these rules of eligibility of yearlings and stallions each year, even if changes are not made. Policy had been that if there were no changes, the current conditions would remain in effect. That has created some confusion, so the policy will now need to be approved each year. Mark, do you want to speak to that a little bit?
Yes. Are we talking about the 10-year lease? We just went from the statute.
So we went from a 10-year lease to a one-year lease.
Right. This is adjusting.
And this is why we've highlighted, so we explain bulls of 2016 thereafter will be underneath the 10-year lease, but bulls of 15 and prior. That statute, all we're going on is this, so everybody understands what bulls follow what leases. And also, too, I guess this brings up the thing with Rock and Roll Heaven. I asked that before last December meeting. We've had a question about the reentry rule, whether it's, you know, law or not law or whatever. All I know, it's been printed in the Stallion Directory for the last 10 years at least, or 9 or 10 years. I wanted to kind of take a vote on it last time to sit there and say that we're going to accept the reentry for the 2017 breeding season. But as when we wanted to look at the archives, right. Did we find anything through the archives?
So I went back and I found the original file from the Burr Law, and there was nothing in there regarding that. So the only thing that that I can presume is that this was done simply as a condition that was established by the fund. Okay. There's nothing that's mandated in the law. Gone back and pulled up the actual bill jackets and the notes that were passed between Governor Rockefeller and Dr. Slack. It was quite illuminating. Yes, and see the signature of Nelson Rockefeller on some documents. But there was nothing in there, even in the side discussions in the margins, there was nothing regarding that. So I don't have anything to offer to shed light as to what the history of that is. I can only say that it's something that was considered by the fund and has become customs and practice by the fund.
So there was an issue then, and it was dealt with by conditions of practice going forward. What's different today?
What we're just making adjustments based upon
the one big thing was Chapter 170 of the Laws of 2014,
exactly.
Where we adjusted the 10-year provision to the 1-year and made it clear for what fold. Because when they did the change in 2014, the legislation passed on July 23rd of 2014, even though it took effect immediately, it really didn't affect the fold crop that year. So it was really then you had to go to the fold of 2015. And I'm actually talking with Peter.
Brad,
and then it was the falls of 2016.
Right.
So that's why I would make that clarification here. But it would be a good practice, and Mark and I, and I talk with Peter and Mike, that we should be doing this every year, just like we do the conditions 58, 57, 59 of the Excelsior. We should be doing this every year. That was a practice that wasn't being done, and it should be done every year, because this will change again next year once we get past the 216, those horses are involved, then we could just go to the 1 year because it won't affect any of the horses anymore. 2019, I would guess, because there'll be 3-year-olds then.
As Peter said, you know, the paperwork that needed to be filed for the horses for 2017 breeding season needed to be done prior to January 1st, which is why he brought the point at the last meeting. But since it's past January 1st, in order to be fair to everybody involved, if any changes are going to be made, you know, on the lower part of this piece of paper to reflect the now 1-year lease and not trying to discourage people from doing business in New York, but encourage people to do business in New York, I think at the end of this breeding season, when we review this again, we may decide to, you know, to change things so they're in line with the procedures of doing business in a more modern time under different rules under the conditions that the law now provides, and we'll look at that after this breeding season's over and not change it at all.
This is why I decided, I think it'll be good, because after the breeding season, July 15th, when we have a meeting, you know, August, September, one of those two meetings, or whenever we have a meeting, is we can take a look at what happened during the breeding season. If we want to make some changes, we can vote on it, make the changes, and it still gives the stallion owners and breeding farms 2-3 months to understand what our conditions are going to be, what regulations, so they're not done, you know, 1 or 2 days before the time limit is up, like what Alice was talking about, and not having time to get into the program if your horse is out in Indiana. I mean, we did, you know, this was brought to me, I think you sent this to me on the 23rd of December. They went to Mike. Mike had some comments about, you know, let's get rid of the 2-year rule and the reentry rule, which got back to me on the 30th of December. And we couldn't act on it. It's not fair to